Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Simple Actions group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is David, and I'm an alcoholic. By way of housekeeping, we will only be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting. Nobody's going to end up on YouTube. Feel free to leave your camera on. And we will eventually post the audio portion of every Simple Actions meeting on our website, simpleactions.net. I am going to throw a couple of links in the chat, and one of them is to our website, simpleactions.net, where the audio is. You could also sign up for a low volume email list. We'll let you know when we're having events at Simple Actions. And then there's a link to our PayPal accounts. Simple Actions is observing the seventh tradition over Zoom. And we'll talk more about that when the seventh tradition comes around. So that's it for housekeeping. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a moment of silence to do with as you wish, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The Simple Actions group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anybody here tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety? You can unmute yourself and say hello. That's all we want to do is say hello. We're not going to interview you. Anybody here in their first 30 days of sobriety?
I'm
Stephanie. I'm an alcoholic and an addict.
Stephanie, welcome. Love you.
Love you.
I heard one more.
Don, alcoholic.
Hey, Don, welcome. Anybody else? All right. I think we have, the chat is set up for everyone publicly. I'll throw my number out there, Don, as soon as we get this meeting rolling here. Anybody else? 30 days? We are glad you're all here. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous says that Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight, which is step 12. So please welcome our panel this evening. We have Alyssa M. from New Orleans and our very own BJ from Simple Actions. All right. Now, we're not going to read you to death, but I'm going to put up a paragraph from page 89 for those of you who want to play our home game. I will read the paragraph and then allow the panel to share. So step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So our first reading tonight is on page 89. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our life. BJ?
My name is BJ. I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is July 5th, 2020. I have a sponsor, and I do sponsor other women, although to be transparent, I am not sponsoring anybody at the moment. And Simple Actions is my home group. And thank you guys. It's an honor to speak. It always is. Bear with me. I haven't spoken in a long time, so this is kind of bizarre. But I feel super lucky to be here. and talking about the 12 steps. So I'm an alcoholic. When I start drinking, I can't control the amount that I take. And whenever I try to quit drinking entirely, I can't on my own. You know, I would get off work and get a drink and get home and get another drink for the shower. And then, you know, if I was going somewhere after that to meet friends at the bar or something, I'd need a drink for the car. And I thought that was cute. You know, I thought I was choosing to take those drinks. And what I know today is that that drink after work insisted that I have a drink in the shower. And that drink in the shower demanded that I have a drink in the car. Once I put it in my body, I have an abnormal reaction to the alcohol that normal people don't have. I would also try to quit thousands of times. I woke up, you know, swearing that I was done drinking. You know, something bad enough would happen. I'd wake up in the morning and say, enough, we're done. This is it. I'm not drinking again. And, you know, I might, depending on the consequence, I might stay sober a few days. One time I stayed sober 2 weeks. But the thing that sets me apart is without a drop of alcohol in my body, totally detoxed from alcohol, I would make the insane decision to pick up a drink again. So I'm an alcoholic. And I was thinking when David was reading these paragraphs, thinking of step 12 makes me think of when I was new and meeting my sponsor and just where I'll start with the 12 step promises that he read. The life will take on new meaning. It absolutely is true. I can remember I met my sponsor at a meeting where there were lots of women willing to sponsor. I was kind of, well, let me back up because this is significant. So my first AA meeting, I finally realized that I couldn't get sober alone. So I found myself in an AA meeting in the second floor of a crusty old church, surrounded in a room by people of all different ages and backgrounds. And it was so cool because they talked about drinking how I drank. Never in my life had I heard such honesty. You know, they talked about drinking and driving and drinking at work and dancing on tables. And I felt like I was home. I finally identified as an alcoholic for the first time in my life. And after the meeting, a woman approached me and she gave me a list of phone numbers. She said, call these people, look for a woman that you relate to and ask her to sponsor you. And most importantly, keep coming to meetings. I didn't do any of that. I thought, well, now I know I'm an alcoholic, so I'm good. And I walked out that door and that was actually the time I stayed dry for 2 weeks. And the time came that I decided to go to a wedding where I knew there was alcohol. And right then, that was the mental twist, which I think we'll talk about later. And I got drunk and that kicked off a few more months of drinking. Well, I finally came to this weird meeting in a really fancy church that had like a panel of two people and they were talking about something weird, like step 10. And I didn't know what the heck was going on. But after the meeting, a woman approached me with a big book and she gave it to me. And she said, there's a meeting on Wednesday with a ton of female sponsors if you need one. So I went to that meeting. And after that meeting, a woman approached me and gave me her phone number. And she looked so normal. She was dressed super nice. Her nails were done. She seemed sharp as a tack. And I thought, yes, I think I will call this woman because I want what she has. And she actually told me, even before I asked her to sponsor me, she said, why don't you start calling me every day? And that was the difference for me. I was so miserable that I was willing to start calling a complete stranger every single day. And so I did. And before long, I asked her to sponsor me. And I just remember thinking, this poor woman, I am worrying her to death. Like, there's no way in hell she wants to talk to the strange girl at carve out like 15 minutes of her day every single day to talk to me. Like, and so I can remember after we got off the phone, right before we got off the phone, I would thank her. I would start saying thank you. And finally she was like, you don't need to say thank you. You're helping me too. And you know, once we're through the 12 steps, I would like for you to do this with somebody else. And I thought, huh. So anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking when you were reading frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Absolutely. You know, it's been a tough year for me. I don't want to speak for everyone else, but Zoom is an absolute godsend, literally. But like not being able to see you guys, not being able to like physically approach a newcomer at a meeting, not being able to hug has been rough, and we've made it work. But God, I took it for granted. We are so blessed to have that contact with each other. Just like this little period of going back to in-person meetings, I feel like a totally new person because I get my higher power through you guys. It's magical. And the last thing I'll say is practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Absolutely. I do want to put in my two cents. I have gotten drunk while I was sponsoring somebody and taking them through the book. For me, for an alcoholic like myself, the biggest thing is honesty. It says in How It Works, pretty much anybody can recover if you have the capacity to be honest. And if I'm sponsoring a woman and I expect her to let me into her life and tell me pretty much everything, and to be honest, I better be doing that with my sponsor too. So absolutely, like I've gotten off of work just a raging maniac and mad at the world, and I get a call from somebody I'm sponsoring. And after talking to somebody else and hearing about them for 10 minutes, I hang up the phone and forget I was having a bad day. And that keeps a drink out of my hand. Going through the book and remembering where the hell I came from keeps a drink out of my hand. But if I'm not willing to be honest, even that won't keep a drink out of my hand. So just wanted to shut. I'll pass.
Thank you, BJ. Alyssa, welcome.
Okay. Hello, thank you. Alyssa, alcoholic, and my sobriety date is March 1st, 2015, but every 4 years, my sobriety date is actually February 29th. So that's kind of fun. Before I got sent all this, I was actually looking in the 12 and 12 a little bit too on the 12th step. And then I started looking in my big book again. And one thing I had underlined was that it's the 12th suggestion, you know, I just thought that was kind of interesting on how the big book was originally written, and then how it was like changed a little bit, and how our program has suggestions, and yet they're like, you know, the suggestions are pretty important, you know. Yeah, if you don't run your pipes, you know, at night in a freezing area, they're going to freeze. So, you know, things like that. Anyway, the other thing about this step was that I know that Bill was trying, you know, he was spent 6 months trying to help people. And he was doing all of these things and no one was getting sober. And then Lois said, well, but you're still sober. And then Dr. Silkworth talked to him and said, you know, Bill, not everybody has this kind of spiritual experience that you had, this white light kind of experience. A lot of people aren't going to relate to that. Why don't you talk to them about the disease, you know, about the compulsion, about, you know, the disease of the body. And so when he, you know, that famous situation where he met with Bob, who was a doctor and who was going to the Oxford group, you know, he was doing all this spiritual work, trying to, get sober. And so when, you know, oh yeah, I'll talk to this man for 15 minutes, and then they talked half the night. So, and then, you know, so Bill finally had the opportunity to talk to him about the disease of the body. And Bob got that, you know, and, you know, so that's like a, you know, really powerful period. And I think for myself that it took me a while, my denial of, because I was a, what do you call it? I could stop drinking. I just couldn't stay stopped whatsoever. And I was totally a blackout drinker too. I didn't even have to drink very much and I blacked out. So, but because I was around people who could drink so much more than me, and that I could stop at times, it took me a while to finally admit I was an alcoholic. So, but thank God I finally got it. You know, I finally got that, the first step. And then, what was the other parts we were talking about? I sponsored right now. I don't have too many sponsees, but in the past, But anyway, I was sponsoring a whole ton of women, and it was fantastic. And it's so wonderful to go to meetings and you know, have my connections with friends and see people progress and see people who are on fire, you know, and be a part of that, you know, to be a part of each other's recovery. So I can, you know, I can go do fun things with non-program friends, you know, or do things with program friends too. But then there's something about going to that meeting, you know, where there's just that spiritual peace, you know, and the majority of us are in that realm. And we're, you know, that's what we, you know, that's what we want. So, well, one last thing, I guess the last paragraph there, and that's that, this weekend I was around, a bit of drinkers and I was around, some people talking, you know, who are drinkers talking about certain people who are saying, man, they really need to go to AA, you know, they need to go to treatment. But because there was such a party atmosphere and the drinking atmosphere, I didn't really have too much of an opportunity, you know, to really talk to them. But as a person just drinking water, as a, you know, person not drinking, I was, you know, and with two other people, I was like kind of a model, you know, for that too, without saying anything. So I guess for that paragraph, I'm finished for those paragraphs.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both. We're going to continue on page 91. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he's not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he's in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you. Be careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. BJ?
All righty. Just kind of going back to what my sponsor did with me, shortly after, actually, I think it was my first week in AA, like officially, we were going to meet at a Friday night meeting. And don't you know, the person with the key, skeleton key, didn't show up. So as luck would have it, there was a Starbucks directly across the street. And we waltzed over there and sat down and started yakking. And of course, I didn't know that this is what she was doing with me. I just thought we were having coffee, but she was seeing her woman alone. And it was like immediately I felt she let me talk, which is important for me to take in because I'm a talker and I struggle with even with sponsees. I have to kind of bite my tongue sometimes to like let them talk. She let me talk and actually immediately got a few things off my chest, you know, that just I needed to share about my drinking, and I told her most of my story. She told me a lot of hers. And, you know, I think that I don't remember it. Like I was still, my head was still clearing. I just remembered that it was cool. There was like kind of a little bit of spiritual experience going on there. And I do this after somebody asked me to sponsor them. We set up a date pretty quickly to meet for coffee and do exactly what it says here. And I do want to add, I read this before I meet somebody because I'll get fancy. Like I'll meet up with them and like forge ahead and get into the book and talk about God and like all this stuff. And it doesn't say that. It says, basically says, keep it simple and talk about your drinking and try to get them to open up. And I've had some of each. I've had a really shy people, one in particular who, didn't say much when we met. You know, I shared about my kind of drinking history and she shared a little bit of hers and she cried most of the time. So I did focus on how does it, the troubles liquor caused me. I kept that in mind. And then I've had people who actually had a really cool experience last year. Somebody asked me to sponsor them on Zoom. And I was unable to meet with her in person. She lived with her family and they weren't comfortable, which I totally understand with, you know, coming into contact. So I saw my man alone on the phone, which was a new experience, but it totally worked. I mean, she was more kind of the humorous. I went through my story. I made sure to put in the funny stuff like crap in your pants and all that. And, you know, that kind of stuff. and she like, there were so many things where she was like, oh my God, me too. You know what I mean? And then she told her story and I think we talked for like an hour, but, I think honestly, that's all I have for that paragraph. I'll pass with that.
Thank you, BJ. Alyssa, I need you to unmute Alyssa, please.
There we go. Okay.
Thank you.
Good timing on that. I've had sponsees that when we were going through the steps, and this is maybe not exactly, but where they kept saying they were fine, you know, and I was like, uh-oh, this person's not, we all know what fine means. And then I had another sponsee who I could tell just wasn't, you know, there was something going on. I could see resistance. And I said, you know, I think you have two boyfriends here. You know, you're not deciding which boyfriend you want. Do you want to, you know, to be drinking or not drinking, you know? And she was kind of walking between the two. I am happy to say that a couple of years later, she really finally made the decision and is really this really involved person in AA now. So that's really exciting to see somebody who was still drinking, but didn't leave the program. She stayed, she kept coming even though she was drinking. And I just think that's really, really great. I guess being a counselor and social worker, sometimes it's hard for me to determine between the two sometimes when talking to people. And but I definitely, you know, will share, you know, my experiences, my blacking out, you know, my way that alcohol, you know, affects me differently, you know, than other people. And I really try not to be condescending, you know, I try to be really genuine and a really good active listener with somebody and not putting pressure on them. So I think that's all I got.
All right, perfect. We're going to continue on page 91. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggles you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can, if he is not too alcoholic. But insist that if he is very severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. BJ.
Yeah, I've been working with my sponsor for almost 7 years, and I don't think she's ever told me I'm an alcoholic. I'm pretty sure she knows I am, but you know, it says here, it's not up to somebody to tell us. That's kind of something you need to discover for your own. And I feel like that's a good thing, because it kind of, it hits a little deeper. The insist that if he's severely afflicted, there may be, well, hold on now. You know, some people aren't alcoholics. It says here, you might be able to control your drinking if you're not too alcoholic. And for me, that's why I like to, and I do with people I work with, I do exactly what was done with me, because, you know, it works. But for me, a lot of this is, we're going to kind of uncover when we go through the book. And I think some of this is a little backwards, just because, not backwards. I think we do it slightly differently today, at least I do, just because, you know, back then there weren't a ton of meetings. You know, today I usually meet newcomers at a meeting. So, and, you know, for instance, I've already said, my name's BJ and I'm an alcoholic. So, you know, we already got that off the table. So there's a lot of stuff in here that I think, like, maybe they approach like slightly differently back in the day. Let me see here. If you're satisfied. Oh yeah, the mental twist. And again, we hit this more hard when reading through the book, and particularly when we're on more about alcoholism. But I like to have a couple of stories in my pocket to whip out to kind of demonstrate what that mental twist is and kind of what sets me apart from a heavy drinker or, you know, an average temperate drinker. The one I told earlier about going back out after I'd been to an AA meeting and had raised up out of there on self-knowledge. And, you know, two weeks dry as a bone, and Saturday rolls around and we have a wedding in a friend's backyard to go to. And I remember distinctly saying, there was a little voice that said, if you go to that wedding, you're not going to stay sober. And I went to that wedding, and that's the mental twist. It wasn't getting to the wedding and saying, oh, I'm only going to have two drinks and then getting wasted. It was me saying, huh, maybe I can go to the wedding. I knew then, you know what I mean? So I like to have a couple of stories kind of along those lines to whip out to say, this is the problem. Cause I know for me, I'm a simple creature and I do better with examples. So I try to do that for newcomers too. And then don't at this stage refer to this book. That's another thing. I feel like if we've met at a meeting, you already know about the big book and you probably already have one, but I get it. And let me see here. Yeah, I think that's all I have for that paragraph. Thanks.
Thank you, BJ. Alyssa?
Alyssa, alcoholic. Yeah, hopelessness. I think physical hopelessness, mental hopelessness. I think a lot of people relate to that. And I think most people, you know, most people get here because they're heading towards suicide. I mean, when you hear stories, you know, the majority of stories that you hear, people are heading towards, you know, suicide, whether they're conscious of it or not. And but a lot of people are. I don't know if I was, well, maybe, but so when, you know, we can share that similarity of the mental you know, hopelessness and the physical hopelessness, where as much as we tried, and, you know, all the different ways we tried to just drink it at night, tried to just drink beer. We tried to just drink, you know, all these strategies that really didn't work. And, you know, what happens, you know, when you take a drink, you know, off to the races. And what do they say? It's not the caboose, but it's the front of the train that gets you, not the end of the train. And so what else were we talking about here? I think I'd like to talk about psychological things too. So I guess hint towards that spiritual experience, you know, that miracles can happen in this program, that even though AA seems really strange and kind of weird, and you know, you may not like the people, or, you know, you may not like the dynamics of the program, because kind of that's what happened to me. I was, you know, I couldn't really relate. You know, I wasn't into God, or, you know, I mean, all of these different things, but this was the last street at the end of the block, and I had nowhere else to go. And it's just made such a difference in my life. And if I can share that with others, then I think that's, you know, a miracle. So thank you.
Beautiful. We're going to continue on page 92, and I'll try to actually show the reading this time. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. You will soon have your friend admitting he has many, if not all, the traits of an alcoholic. If his own doctor is willing to tell him that he is alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question if he will. Tell him exactly what happened. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions are. BJ.
Yeah, Alyssa just made me think something that I'm very like forthcoming about is that, yes, I was drinking myself to death, but that's not what made me come to AA. It was the fact that I was emotionally, and what I didn't know at the time, spiritually bankrupt. Just my life was this black void, and I did wish I was dead. And this was kind of my last try, like, well, we'll see if this works, because I'm miserable, man. I share that at meetings. I share that with newcomers, and a lot of times they'll relate. And once we do, after we talk about the hopelessness, I try to make sure to put some hope in there. And for me, that's things like, you know, AA has absolutely saved my life. I like to tell this story, and a lot of you guys hear this all the time, but, you know, my husband, after a year in AA, told me AA has saved our marriage. You know, I've held down the same job at some point for 6 years. Like, that ain't me. You know, I'm alive. That ain't me either. So, people, a newcomer becomes curious about that. Like I said, when I met my sponsor and other women in the program, I remember thinking, well, good Lord, these women seem so happy. Like, and they're telling me that they used to drink like I drink, like maybe I can do that too. And I became curious. And, you know, you can't really hide the God thing, like, from somebody who's new. Every other meeting you go to has some step two in it. And so they know, I think most people know that, there's a spiritual element to this program. For me, I do what was done with me. I start off by basically asking, are you willing to pray? Like, I don't know if you do pray or not, but would be willing to try. And if so, why don't you ask God to keep you sober first thing in the morning and before you go to bed at night, thank him for keeping you sober. And that's a big part of like my sobriety. I hadn't prayed in years and years. I didn't believe it would work, but those were instructions that were given to me. And so I started doing it, and lo and behold, I was staying sober for a lot longer than I was ever able to on my own. And then it kind of, for me, it built on that, but absolutely, like, I think keeping it simple. And the other thing is like, but ideally, I'm sure I don't do it all the time, but the majority of the time before an interaction between myself and another alcoholic, I try to pray. Because I'm not going to save anybody. I can't even help anybody unless I have, you know, my higher power is helping me out, has been my experience. So, yeah, I think that's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, BJ. Alyssa?
The fatal malady of our biochemistry. I mean, we're our biochemistry is different than certain people, you know. It's like they can pour themselves a glass of wine and you know, not me, my glass of wine would be huge, you know, their glass of wine, like what I consider is a half a glass of wine. And then they would, you know, could just sip on it for a little bit and maybe not finish it, you know, or I feel this. So alcohol does something different in our body when we drink it. It does, it changes, you know, and I think giving people that information is really helpful, and it helps to explain the disease concept a little bit more too. And then it takes away that you're a bad person, that you're weak-willed and you're bad because you have not learned how to manage your alcohol. And for me, I honestly really thought that because I had some learning disabilities and because I was neglected as a child, I wasn't taught appropriately how to do this. I really thought, well, if I just keep trying a little bit more, then maybe I can learn how to drink appropriately, you know? And so to just, you know, to really remember and focus that our biochemistry is not the same, and that, you know, we have a disease. So that's about it.
All right. Thank you. We're going to continue on page 94. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital role in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you're helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. BJ?
Yeah. When I asked my sponsor to sponsor me, she asked me two questions. Are you willing to go to any length for victory over alcohol? And are you willing to pass this to someone else once we're done? And I asked people who asked me to sponsor them, I asked them the same question. And it's uncomfortable, but because you never know what they're going to say, but it's important, man. And one of the coolest things ever is to see like somebody new like that's been in for a few days and kind of nudge them, or even you don't have to sometimes, and so see them walk up to somebody who's brand new and, you know, somebody who has 10 days and go up and introduce themselves to somebody with 1 day and to give them their phone number. It gives me chills because I remember what that felt like that, it's a unique kind of, your life takes on new meaning. It just does. You're useful. We didn't know that when we were drinking. At least I didn't. Man, it was the opposite of that. And 10 days in, you can reach your hand out to somebody else who feels like you felt 10 days ago. And it's magic, man. And it's almost cooler to like watch it for somebody else than for it to happen to you. Whoo, doggy. Anyway, the last part of the paragraph made me think of, I've only had one person ask me to sponsor them and then go, oh, never mind. And it honestly wasn't that bad. I think it was more, you know, our schedules weren't lining up. She asked me to sponsor her. And I didn't say yes right away. I said, you know, can we meet up? I want to talk. And she's like, oh, I got someone else. And I was like, honestly, I was like, that's awesome. You have somebody. That's the important part, which that ain't me. Normally I would be butthurt about it. But I think, like, again, going back to seeing people do this and get better, you're just kind of rooting for them. And I'm sure there's some God in there too. yeah, I think that's all I have for that one. Thanks.
Thanks, BJ. Alyssa?
I think back to the little thing that, you know, Bill discovered so much about the program was that by helping others, it kept him sober. And then when he, you know, when he was at the hotel and he, you know, he saw what was going on in the bar and he was debating. And then he's like, no, let me see what I can do, you know, to help somebody. You know, and it kept him sober. And I know for me, it's I think, you know, that's the answer for self-pity too. When we start feeling sorry for ourselves, you know, it's like, what can we do for others? And in whatever format that is. And I know I've started going to meetings a little earlier so I can help, you know, be part of the before the meeting kind of thing and help set up chairs and do different things and then stay afterwards and talk with people and, you know, put stuff away and just even little things like that. And then also to be a listener for somebody, you know, like just to keep always remembering that one of the main goals of this program is to be a, you know, St. Francis prayer. So to be of service, to not, you know, to have our hole, you know, our hole, black hole, whatever, gray hole, whatever you want to call it, that's been so empty for so long. This program has filled it up on a day-to-day basis. And since it's filled up, we are over, you know, we're overflowing and we just don't need that fix from different people. And actually, when I was looking in the 12 and 12, there was that one little line about how we, part of the problem is we were very immature and we had too many expectations of different people. And when we let go of these expectations and we realize that we put staying sober and being more spiritual first, then it solves a lot of our problems. What I got.
Thank you. And our final paragraph for the evening is on page 96. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. Too much time spent on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. BJ?
I haven't necessarily had the experience of like working with someone who just goes on for years and years without taking any action. Typically, if I have someone who doesn't take action, they trail off. So I haven't had this experience per se. I have had the experience of, you know, someone who, or people saying they're willing to do things and then not. You know, it's just one of those things. I'll open myself up to other people, and taking them on, but I don't have a ton of experience with this. I just know that it helps me a lot to do it. And, all I can do is pray for, my interactions with a newcomer and do what was done with me and, take people through the book and leave the rest to God, man. Actually, it's all God, but, not because you have the experience of, oh, did I do something wrong? And, for me, it's not up to me. And just being open. If somebody asks me to help, the answer is yes. And I don't think, I'm not really into letting people go. So if you want to, I'm here for it. You know what I mean? It's only going to help me and might help you too. We'll see. So yeah, I think that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share tonight.
Thank you, BJ. Alyssa?
Alyssa, alcoholic. I think I've just come to see that that you never know who the person is that's going to be in love with the program for the rest of their life, you know. And I think for a while I didn't think I was going to be that person, but I definitely am. And I've worked with people who, you know, are so on fire for a little while and then they lose their fire, you know? And then I've gone up to newcomers at meetings and, you know, given my, name and number and, they, you know, didn't call me. I know that sometimes, you know, people are a bit shy. So I'll call sponsees for a little bit, you know. I'll go out of my way to do that a little bit, you know, just to get the ball rolling. And, but the thing that kind of comes to my mind is that very long poem, I Stand by the Door, Schumacher, whatever. And, I'm not going to read it because it's really long, but I, you know, just when I think about it, I get really emotional. I really, really like it because I think that's who the folks who really stay in the program, because there's some people who get sober, leave, and they're really not drinking anymore, you know. But for me, the 12th step is very important to me. Emotional sobriety is really important. And standing by the door, you know, to help people find, you know, guide their hand to the handle to come into the program or to come into the spirituality, you know, is, you know, that's my one day at a time. That's my commitment. So thanks for letting me be a part of this.
Oh, thank you both so much. That's going to end the sharing portion for this evening. Everybody will get an opportunity to thank BJ and Alyssa again after we close the meeting. The seventh tradition states, I'm going to put those links back in the chitty chat gizmo. Seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements for the good of AA? You can unmute while you're thinking about that. I'll give you another opportunity. I'll throw this up on the screen. 2 weeks from tonight, this home group is going to have a supper and a speaker, but there's no supper. You're on your own for supper. It's really just going to be a speaker. But we've got Cleo D from Baltimore, Maryland on July 19th. That's going to be on the Zoom at the same meeting, basically the same meeting credentials that you use to get in here tonight. And I'm just going to say that that meeting on the 19th is going to mark our exit from Zoom. And this, the following week, we will resume meeting in person, hopefully at First Presbyterian Church. But if not, we have an alternate location as well. But anyway, this information is available at tidewaterintergroup.org as well as the simpleactions.net website. We're all looking forward to Cleo D 2 weeks from tonight. Anybody else have an announcement? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. If you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. In closing, I want to thank all who participated and once again thank Alyssa and BJ for beautiful shares. And let's see, who am I going to get? Momo Tomo, you want to read the last three paragraphs on page 164 for us, please?
Got you. I'm Morgan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mo.
This is a vision for you from the book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks.
Thank you, Mo. All right. Everybody has the privilege of unmuting. And how about we all virtually circle up? And BJ, would you lead us tonight in the Lord's Prayer?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Come on. Woohoo! That was the best Lord's Prayer ever.
It was good.
Thank you so much.